with Oregon Wild?
I'm the Forest and Watershed Campaign Organizer, and I specifically work on private lands logging in the Oregon Coast Range.
Well, you're the person to talk to on this. Okay, thank you very much, Jason Gonzalez.
Thank you, Paul.
Thank you to all of our new and renewing members during our winter membership drive. That makes KBOO one of the best community radio stations in the country. We fell a few thousand short of our goal of 55,000, so if you didn't have a chance to give, it's never too late. Remember, for the month of December, if you become a new member or if you increase your giving over last year, your gift will be matched by a number of local businesses and individual donors. Donate now at kboo.fm/give. Thank you once again for being the best supporters a station could ever ask for.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the NARA New Year's Eve Sobriety Powwow on Thursday, December 31st from 1 p.m. to midnight at the Oregon Convention Center in Portland. Grand entry will be at 1 and 6 p.m. with honorings, Ed Goodell as the whip man, NARA All Nations Drum as the host drum, and MC Philip Archambault. Again, that's the NARA New Year's Eve Sobriety Powwow, Thursday, December 31st, from 1 p.m. to midnight at the Oregon Convention Center, Hall A and B, 777 Northeast Martin Luther King Boulevard in Portland. More information is available at kboo.fm on the right-hand side of the homepage under Community Events.
This KBOO program is made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Portland's Gay Directory, providing a resource guide of openly gay-friendly businesses, organizations, and services since 1996. New smartphone app available for all iPhones and Droids. For more information, you can visit gaypdx.com.
This program is made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Radio Cab, serving the metro area since 1946 with service 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. Radio Cab offers airport service, wheelchair accessible vans, and can be reached at 503-227-1212. In Vancouver at 360-694-1234 or radiocab.net.
This is KBOO Portland. The time is 6:02, and coming up next, Preference Radio, discussing housing and homelessness among LGBTQ youth.
Welcome to Out Loud, dear listeners, here on KBOO. We're glad to have you. We're here every Tuesday from 6 to 7, queer news and culture for a greater Portland. Tonight we're going to be talking about housing and homelessness among our community's queer and trans youth. We have Mika, Kira, and Layla with us. Why don't each of you work with this population? Why don't you each introduce yourselves? Layla?
My name is Layla Hofstein. I am the youth coordinator for Portland PFLAG's Black Chapter. We work primarily with queer folks of color in the Portland metro area, and I get to have the privilege of working with queer youth in general around the city, in and outside of schools, different organizations, and it's a great job.
My name is Kira. I work with Cascade AIDS Project's ChatPDX Youth Peer Education Program. We work with young folks that are experiencing, we work with all young folks, 13 to 24, but we work with young folks that are experiencing marginalization, so young queer folks, youth of color, etc.
Welcome back.
Thanks.
And I'm Mika, and I coordinate a program called Queer Zone, which is a program under the larger organization Outside In. And Outside In, among other things, provides comprehensive services to homeless youth. And Queer Zone is a program that specifically provides one-on-one support and recreational groups and educational groups to queer and trans homeless youth under the age of 25.
Wonderful. Thanks so much for being here. So we've got a huge topic with so many different strands, so many different aspects to it. Where do we want to begin?
I would start out with a couple of numbers, because I think people are always kind of surprised exactly how much of people on the houseless continuum identify as queer, which is about, I think, around 40%, if not more. And of that number, about two-thirds of those are communities of color. So we're talking about, like, the most marginalized among our community.
And I think also maybe important to say is that queer homeless youth are vulnerable to a host of other issues as well, more vulnerable than their straight homeless counterparts. So they're more likely to have experienced sexual abuse and more likely to have experienced harassment in schools and violence in their families of origin, and more likely to be poor, more vulnerable to addiction, and more vulnerable to discrimination within homeless shelters and other services directed towards homeless youth.
And along with that, they're disproportionately impacted by HIV and AIDS, as well as, like, not even being able to find, not being tied to school if there is sexual health education there, or if there is sexual health education available to them, it doesn't account for most of their experiences for the most part.
Is there a sense that queer youth are particularly subject to harassment from the police, or engagement
Absolutely.
By the police?
Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm.
If they're on the homeless continuum.
Yeah, actually hosted a sort of forum between law enforcement officials and queer and trans youth. And the Portland Police Bureau has actually put a lot of energy into addressing those issues, one of which came up was the factors around having correct identification, correct in quotation marks, because police on the whole are taught to that if someone doesn't have a correct ID or doesn't want to show it, that they're automatically lying. So for a lot of youth who don't have IDs or don't have ideas that match their gender presentation, they're automatically criminalized. And that's the first step in a long line of oppressive institutions that they may have to go through because of that.
I think also, especially trans youth, but queer and trans youth who look gender nonconforming have a lot of trouble finding sort of mainstream work, so then they're forced into street economies, so sex work or selling drugs, and obviously, like, populations that do that work are disproportionately vulnerable to police officers and the prison industrial complex. Mm-hmm. And then, I mean, once you think about queer and trans people getting into prisons, there's a whole other set of issues and forms of violence that they're affected by, and trans homeless youth who've existed in the prison system have really negative experiences and are often put in, not put with people who they identify with gender-wise, and then experience a lot of violence because of that.
Let's define for our listeners what the homelessness continuum is. What does that phrase tell us about people's experience?
Houselessness comes in a lot of different forms. You may have youth who are on the street for years. You may have youth who just have inconsistent housing, who are, like, maybe bouncing through the foster system or maybe spend, you know, a couple of weeks at a time on the street. And Kira and I were talking earlier about how a lot of youth don't feel like they correctly identify as houseless simply because, like, their housing isn't stable. But that's still a form of houselessness and still valid and comes with its own repercussions and idiosyncrasies with that.
Also, something that might get confusing is the Homeless Youth Continuum is the name for a network of organizations that serves homeless youth in Portland, Oregon, which is different than the term homelessness continuum.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, our acronyms.
Mm-hmm. So what are you experiencing right now in the work that you're doing? What is it like for youth?
It's honestly heart-wrenching. Over the past year, we as a community have lost several youth, either due to violence, suicide, or honestly, we don't know why, because oftentimes, you know, youth who are at high risk get into weird situations. So we don't know the circumstances surrounding their deaths, which is, again, heart-wrenching in its own way. It's kind of a constant form of trauma that we're mm-hmm. all dealing with, which has its own effects on us as youth workers, I think.
Yeah, I think one of the things I've been thinking about, a lot of our communities overlap, obviously, and so we're also experiencing loss, and especially around like trans feminine or trans women in our community. And I've been thinking about the effects on our youth of years and years of trauma and what that looks like even once people's basic needs for housing and food and maybe also basic mental health care, what that looks like and how to sort of help people like get to places where they're living vibrant, healthy lives after so many years of being hurt and traumatized.
I mean, it's to the point where in our sexual health education curriculum, everything is based around the idea that pretty much everyone we're working with has experienced what it's complex PTSD, complex trauma, and that the trauma has become so repetitive and expected regarding either just not being housed, not being able to find the next meal, not being able, like being harassed by the police, you know, any of those things happening on a day-to-day basis.
And I think for me, working within a social service agency, seeing youth struggle with the steps that we ask them to take to get to a place of self-sufficiency and how that's intertwined with trauma a lot and how to help them work through that as opposed to just continuing to expect the same steps out of everybody regardless of their trauma history.
A lot of the work that I do directly with youth involves learning how to navigate bureaucracy correctly. Mm-hmm. And I'd say that takes a good, like, 30% of the direct mm-hmm. work I do with youth. It's like, listen, this is what you have to do. You're going to be on the phone for 45 minutes. It's not going to be pleasant, but this is how you get through that.
And distrust of authority when you've been wronged by authority throughout your life mm-hmm. and then helping them, like, work with authority in various contexts to benefit from various social institutions while dealing with that trauma.
Do you suspect that the population of queer and trans homeless youth is on the rise in the city?
Well, it's not getting smaller, I can say that much. It's something that's like so difficult to track.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm sure we could each list off at least 36 individuals that we come in contact mm-hmm. with, you know, notwithstanding those youth who haven't tried to access our services yet.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think it's really hard to count, and it looks different over time. So often I'll get in conversations around folks about, like, what youth sex work in Portland looked like, for example, in the 90s versus what it looks like now. And people will say that it's less than what it was in the 90s, when actually what's happened is it just looks different, and people are less out and less public about it. And so I see it looks the same to me. The numbers look the same to me, just what sex work looks like looks different, for example. So it's hard to track, especially when our homeless counts don't count folks who have a place or a couch to crash on, even if that changes. They're not generally considered houseless. So if there are more folks who are opening up their houses than they used to be, then we're not getting accurate numbers of what homelessness looks like.
Yeah, data collection is something that PFLAG Black Chapter has been working really heavily on with other institutions like Basic Rights Oregon and the Urban League. We started just gathering numbers around communities of color, and we've recently convinced people to start adding a queer lens onto that, and like hopefully in the next couple years we'll be adding like housing stability into that, so we actually have numbers to start telling these stories that are out there.
That's wonderful. Mm-hmm. Thank you for that. So before we continue to flesh that out a little bit longer, let's take a couple of moments and talk about how folks who are who have access to more resources can help these days. What can we do?
Well, there's time, money, and energy. Mm-hmm. Are the three things that we always need. You know, if you have the money, go to any of our, I mean, we'll rattle off websites in a second. But we're always looking for volunteers, and each of our organizations has a different process for that. But I really like to stress that, like, no matter what your talent or resources are, you have a place in this revolution. If you like website design, someone needs your help. If you like separating recycling, someone needs your help. If you can knit, we need your help. Like, all skills are needed in this. So I know a lot of people that stops them. They're thinking, oh, I don't have anything to give. But it's not true. Everyone has something to give to our community.
And I think even if you don't have monetary resources, one of the problems that queer youth and then queer homeless youth face is not being able to picture themselves as adults and not having role models. So if you are an older queer person, finding a way to use your time so you have contact with younger queer people so you can show them what it looks like to be a healthy, relatively happy, older queer person.
I mean, and education and information is really important, right? I mean, queer and trans young folks lose their housing for reasons. And so how can we have conversations in the communities that we're part of where we're interrupting some of this stuff or supporting parents who are maybe learning that their children are queer and are struggling with that and really working within our own communities to interrupt things that people are saying that are maybe inaccurate and so that we can support the young folks so that they don't lose their housing and so they can, because most people would prefer to be able to be supported in their own home and where they live and stay in their home where they live. And so making sure that that can happen and trying to spread that information out there.
Now, there are a lot of very sad stories about folks who are mm-hmm. who are teens and coming out with one identity or another for themselves and not respected well.
And I kind of want to add in there, like, we have a lot of conversations about all the trials and tribulations that our youth go through, but we also, like, see a lot of beauty mm-hmm. and amazing talent and vitality mm-hmm. and the things that make us happy to be part of this community. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, the fact that these youth are incredibly resourceful and have to, you know, utilize a patchwork of resources in order to survive, so they become very good at that. And those skills can translate mm-hmm. into, like, paying jobs that mm-hmm. they can then, you know, sustain themselves mm-hmm. off of. And that's amazing. They're operating with absolutely nothing, with mm-hmm. being told that they're lives don't count or aren't worth paying attention to in a thousand different ways that we don't think of every day because it's part of oppression. But this is a beautiful community, and I can't stress that enough, like how just amazing and creative these youth are and how worth it they are and how they deserve to be more than a hashtag. And yeah, it's something that frustrates me about the It Gets Better campaigns. Like, they shouldn't have to wait. They mm-hmm. need to be loved and affirmed now for the things that they're going through right now. Mm-hmm. That's the end of my mom rant.
No, I mean, it's true. The youth that we work with are beautiful and powerful and amazing, and the only barrier is the, like, adults and the folks who are creating systems and everything in their life. That is the main issue that needs to be challenged and changed, not the young folks that we're working with. Mm-hmm.
And I think there's a lot of, like they've both been saying, a lot of levity and beauty in these spaces. And it's a really fun line of work, at least from my perspective, and a lot of, like, beautiful community gatherings, and really has driven home the point for me that I think queer community can save lives and does, especially from people who have their ties severed with their families of origin. But even if their ties aren't severed, I think queer community just can add such richness to people's lives.
Mm-hmm. In my reading for tonight's show, foster care came up quite a bit. Can we touch on that for just a moment?
Mm-hmm. Sure. Well, my personal experience with youth in and exiting foster care systems is that it can be just as treacherous to navigate as other resources. Because we know that, like, queer and trans folk are often blocked from being foster parents. It's really difficult to find slots where these youth can fit in families that are affirming of their identities. So that often becomes, you know, instead of having one dysfunctional family, you end up with six. So that can be one of the pitfalls of that system.
And I think the one of the I see at Outside In a lot of youth who are coming out of the foster care system. And I think a lot of them have had, as Layla said, negative experiences within their foster family. Not all of them. There are definitely some great foster families. But a lot of them have had negative experiences specifically around being queer and then also being removed from your family is traumatic no matter what was going on. And then one of the most difficult things is that there isn't a lot of support for youth coming out of foster care. Once you turn 18, it seems like for the most part you are on your own. And for somebody who doesn't have a support network, that's nearly impossible. So many of those youth become homeless. And that's why there are so many services targeting transitional age youth. So not specifically children or minors, but people who are aging out of the systems that support children and minors and still need a lot of help.
And what do some of those programs look like? What do transitional services include?
Well, Outside In Homeless Youth Services target transitional age youth, and we provide a lot of different supports. And as one organization that's part of the Homeless Youth Continuum, we try to meet all of the youth's various needs. So Outside In provides, there's a medical clinic, which a lot of our youth access, and case management and daily meals and showers and help navigating systems of getting housed. We partner with Janus Youth to provide nightly shelter for the youth and mental health counseling. There's a needle exchange and employment and education supports, and then also a lot of connecting youth to other resources as we see fit or needed.
All right, let's find out how folks can find Outside In.
Physically or the website? Or?
Both. Let's do a first half. Get the information out there about how folks can find resources, then we'll come back at the end and we'll redo.
Sure. So you can go to the website, which is outsidein.org, and some people think it's spelled outside in as in I-N-N, but it's outsidein.org. And you can sign up to volunteer or to donate money. We have a lot of volunteers, and they're really vital to the running of Outside In. Most of our meals, a lot of the work is done by volunteers. So if you have any desire to help feed homeless youth, which is really, really important, then definitely sign up.
And where is Outside In physically located?
It's on Southwest 13th and Jefferson. Gotcha. Although I probably wouldn't just show up. But if you have a reason to come. But the medical clinic is open to people who are not just homeless youth. So if you have a need for free or low-cost health care, then definitely check out the clinic, which is on Southwest 13th and Jefferson. And if you are experiencing homelessness and are under the age of 25, you should definitely get connected with us as well.
Kira,
mm-hmm.
Tell us about ChatPDX.
Totally. So folks can get connected with ChatPDX through the website, through Cascade AIDS Project's website, but it's kind of hard to find, so I would recommend Googling Cascade AIDS Project and ChatPDX, and you will get to it. It's also really easy to find on Facebook, So it's just CHATPDX, and you can find that by searching Facebook really easy.
And tell us about Monday nights at ChatPDX.
Totally. So we have a youth HIV testing night the second and fourth Mondays from 3 to 7. Folks can come in and get tested. They can also just come in and hang out. So we have young folks who are experiencing homelessness who come in and get snacks and will sometimes get tested and will sometimes just hang out with some of their friends that they have. It's a drop-in space. It's not a typical homeless youth drop-in space, but folks can definitely utilize that resource.
And the peer education program.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we have our peer education cohort, and it's starting again on January 24th. And we have had many young folks who are experiencing homelessness part of that cohort as well. Our next cohort will be in East County off of 122nd. And if folks want to apply, they can go to, so it's a bit.ly link, so bit.ly/ chat, so CHAT 2015. The education program goes for 20 weeks. It trains folks to be peer educators in their own communities, as well as teaches them the information. So it's been pretty awesome to connect with folks in the homeless youth continuum, because then you'll hear the information come back to you within various drop-in spaces throughout the city.
Wonderful. Mm-hmm. And
You can find out about PFLAG Portland Black Chapter's various endeavors at pflagpdx.org. That's pflagpdx.org. And I also have another youth programming starting up soon. It'll be Thursday evenings from 4 to 6 at Matt Dishman Community Center. It is another queer youth drop-in space. We do pop-up salons. We play games, we make art. It's just a safe space for youth to come and get recreational activities. We always have food and bus passes. It's a great time. And it's a part of a partnership we have with Portland Parks and Recreation.
That sounds great. And you're going to tell us in just a moment about Spectrum.
Ah, yes.
But we're going to hear a little music first. So we'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Layla, Mika, and Kira. Thanks, listeners, for being with us tonight.
Et tu, et noi, e lei,
French.
Fra noi, vorrei, non so, che lei, oh no, le mani, le sue, pensiero stupendo, nasce un poco strisciante. Ancora e noi, ancora. costringendo. Si potrebbe trattare di bisogno d'amore, meglio non dire. E tu e noi e lei fra noi vorrei, non so.
Welcome back to Out Loud, dear listeners. Thanks for being here. We have Leila, Mika, and Kira. We're talking about housing and homelessness among queer and trans youth. One of the reasons we do Out Loud is not just because we get the chance to do fun things. Great musicians, great artists come in and tell us about the work they're doing. But we also get to be reminded that no matter what our lives are like or not like, it isn't rosy. It isn't the picture that... that it did get better now that we got married, now that there are a fair amount of laws that are changing to make queer and increasingly trans folks have full theoretical civic participation and civil rights. But there's a lot going on, and a lot of it can be really difficult for us to visualize personally, and also just not visible to us, depending on where we are in the world or where we are in our communities.
Sorry, I just don't know what to say. Like, yes, that is true. Furious nodding happening in this room. Yeah, I feel like a lot of conversations I was having after the marriage campaign was one was, well, now what next? And it was frustrating because, like, people in our positions have been working on what's next for a hot minute, and it just didn't seem like there was the same amount of, like, enthusiasm for the things that needed to happen next after the marriage campaign ended. And that was, I know, frustrating for me personally, because we still have a large part of our community that isn't being taken care of, and a lot of times in social justice movements you see this attitude where it's like, we'll come back for you. Like, the first couple of feminist waves, like, women of color were left out because, you know, we were going to come back for you. And it felt like, you know, during the marriage campaign, there was that same thing when we're thinking about elder issues, trans issues, people of color in our queer communities. There was a sense of, like, okay, we'll come back for you once we get ours. And especially with the younger activists I work with, there's kind of this, like, you know, double bird sort of scenario where they're like, we're sick of waiting for it to get better or for you to come back for us. We're angry now. We're in need now. We're hungry now. You know? So that's all I'll say about that.
And I think, go ahead. I think the youth that I work with and in Queer Zone and with Outside In, I think that a lot of them felt pretty unaffected by the marriage campaign. And I don't feel like they had very strong feelings or very strong attachments. And I think largely that's because they're sort of in the business of staying alive, and that feels so consuming to them. And we're sort of in the business of helping queer and trans homeless youth stay alive too. And so while marriage is important to a lot of people, I think that this work feels sort of like life and death a lot of the time.
I mean, and some people want something really positive to think about, right? And so marriage is one of those positive things to think about. It's harder to think about our queer young folks experiencing homelessness. And I remember marching through the streets of San Francisco for marriage equality, and we were literally on Market Street walking over young folks sleeping on the sidewalk. And after that had happened, we were literally walking over them. We were like, wait, what? Like, this actually, something is missing here. And that's hard. It's hard to deal with that. More so than it is to think about this positive thing that can happen for us. And I think it helps paint a picture, because we talked about that idea of having something to look forward to. But if you can't if you are experiencing depression because of where you're living, like the idea of loving someone and marrying them might not even be something that's at the forefront of your life at that moment. And this isn't the first time, right, that queer movements or LGBT movements have left behind certain folks. Like when we talk about hate crimes legislation, super important, but then we're also employing the police force who also disproportionately arrest folks of color, et cetera. So things are more complicated than sometimes our movements want them to be.
Let's talk about something a little more joyful.
Totally.
Tell us about Spectrum, Layla.
So Spectrum is a pet project that the youth that many of us work with together had come up with because they wanted an opportunity to show off their talents and skills to the world. So we have we're currently gathering a bunch of queer youth musicians, artists, performers of various types for a really kick-ass art show. And it's going to be happening February 15th at Branks Club. It's at 320 Southeast 2nd Avenue. It's going to be from 7 to 11 p.m. It's free for youth, $3 to $5 sliding scale for adults. And I start to, like, blush and get all fluttered and teary when I talk about this because I just can't, like, fully express how much these youth make me feel like I've wasted my life because they're so freaking talented. Mm-hmm. It's just, it's mind-blowing. Like, some of these young artists should be getting paid to be graphic designers. They should have contracts with record labels by now. And I'm just really excited for people to kind of come together and affirm what I already know about them, like, and just, like, for them to feel that love for them, for their community. I feel like this is going to be a really great event for that. And I'm pretty much one of, like, three adults involved in planning this. The rest is being totally taken on by youth. They're doing organizing and stage managing. They're writing their own songs. They're doing their own choreography. They're mixing their own sound. They're recording their own videos. And it's just, I feel really honored to be able to facilitate them putting beauty out into the world.
What's the date?
February 15th from 7 to 11 p.m. at Branks Club.
All right. And I know that planning for the Oregon Queer Youth Summit is getting underway. Mm-hmm. Does anybody know anything about that?
Oh, yeah. a lot of those same youth are also very powerful leaders in that organization. We haven't decided on a date yet, but okastock.org is up and running. So if you would like to be kept in the loop about volunteering and what other ways you can help out, you can check that out. It's oqys.org. And the quilt, which was a community art project that was born out of OCUS last year, is on display at Radius Community Studios. It's at 3rd and Morrison, underneath the bridge right there, right underneath the Morrison Bridge at MLK. So please stop by and see it if you can. It's pretty amazing. It was a collaboration between Youth Empowered Sewing, Radius Studios, and the youth of OCUS. We had a giant sewing room, and of the, like, what, 400 or so participants? Like, we fit as many as we could into one room putting together this quilt, and it was a really beautiful process to watch.
And OCUS needs money.
OCUS,
so if you want a place to put your money, it's a good place for it to go.
Wonderful. Mm-hmm. How else can folks get involved in helping out Korean trans youth right now?
Specifically, coming up very quickly, there is going to be a moving party for the Sexual Minority Youth Resource Center.
Sexual and Gender Minorities Resource Center.
SMRC is moving its home into NAFI, New Avenues for Youth, and that will be happening on the 19th, I believe.
I think so. It's an MLK Day.
Yeah.
Our build is an MLK Day service project.
Cool. So, yeah, they're looking. They still need help packing stuff up, loading it up, and all the little jobs that come along with moving an entire program. So you can get in contact with them through the Q Center webpage, because SMRC is a program of them. So you can get connected with them or write to Michael Weekly about ways to get involved with that move.
Also donating food to those spaces, to SMRC, to NAFI, to OI, but find out exactly what kind of things they want and how they take food. Indeed. From you, because you can't just always bring in just food to them. Mm-hmm. And also donating like clothes and shoes, and in the winter donating sleeping bags mm-hmm. to these various resources. Sleeping bags are so hard to find. Mm-hmm. All of that stuff is always necessary. So those things just laying around in your house that you don't actually use, instead of taking them to Goodwill if you think they're great and some queer youth want them, take them to one of these spaces.
And bus passes.
Bus passes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And SMRC, I believe, they try to have somebody cooking a meal or bringing a meal mm-hmm. almost every night that they're open, mm-hmm. every night that they're open. And they also have a pretty vibrant volunteer program. So if you want to be in direct service to queer youth and predominantly queer homeless youth, getting involved with SMRC would be great too.
I don't think any of you know this because I've never seen you there. But I organize a yearly benefit for SMRC, and I just signed up. I just did the paperwork to do it again this year. It'll be our 9th annual Thrill the World Portland. It'll be the local part of a worldwide simultaneous thriller dance happening in the autumn. We'll teach you how to dance it. You get to decide if you want to be in costume or not. And then everybody comes out in a public place and dances. Last year we had, I think, 180 people. Every year we've done it as a benefit for SMRC. We've raised thousands of dollars, so that's pretty nice. That keeps me coming back. I've probably done the thriller dance more, you know, because of all the practices. And then, you know, I do my own practices to make sure that I actually know what I'm doing. Done it more than, you know, probably in the top 40 people in the entire solar system who have done this dance. So if you come, you can, you know, I think we do, there's some other instructors too, we do a pretty good job of teaching it. And we have folks of all abilities, so folks from like 4 up to, I think we had a woman in her 80s who was with us this last time. What is our website? I don't know. Look for Thrill the World Portland on Facebook. Thrill the World Portland on Facebook, and we do that this Saturday before Halloween, and it's great. It's a lot of fun. We teach for about a month beforehand.
Plus, that's a great thing to whip out at any party.
It's true.
Yeah, that's a good party shirt.
It's true. Once you know it, you're good to go forever.
We should bring youth to that.
Yeah.
To that event.
Absolutely. We did it. We actually did. We did hold a class at SMRC one year, and we would. Yeah, we would happily. We'll happily teach go and teach anywhere, you know, any group of folks who want to learn it. We're really excited to get out and go around the city and teach. So that's my
plug.
My plug, my project.
Oh, one plug I did forget about is the Clackamas County GSA Summit is happening this Saturday at the Clackamas Community College. So if you're in East County, you should check it out.
And that's Gay Student Alliance?
Mm-hmm. They're usually Gay Straight Alliance.
Gay Straight Alliance. And so that's for the schools in Clackamas County.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a really great summit.
Good. And then, you know, there's a ton of events. There's an amazing amount of events that have been announced just in the past couple of weeks. Like the rest of this winter seems like it's going to be amazing. And there's been so many, and I've been putting them on Out Loud's Facebook as fast as I can, but it's a little hard for me to remember. So check us out, KBOO Out Loud on Facebook, and you can keep up with those as fast as I can get them loaded up there. One thing that's happening tomorrow is Socialist Alternative is putting on a panel discussion at PSU, and the discussion centers on tying trans youth and trans rights to the concept that Black Lives Matter. So that could be a really interesting discussion.
It is an interesting discussion. I have very often.
So that's down at PSU tomorrow at 7. I don't know the room, but I think it's in Smith Center. Everything at PSU is in Smith Center, so that's assuredly where it is. What else is coming up?
So again, the second and fourth Monday is in Pivot downtown, which is between 4th and 5th in Oak and Pine. You can come, folks 24 and under can come in and get HIV testing or hang out. On the first Monday of February, which I believe is the second, we're having a trans youth specific testing night. So trans young folks can come, but testing's not necessary. Just identifying as trans or gender nonconforming can come hang out in the space. And it's organized by the young folks that we work with. Let's see. Did I say something else? Anyway, I think that's it.
By the way, folks can call in and talk with us, 503-231-8187. Okay. And remind me, just remind me one more time the date of Spectrum.
Spectrum is going to be on February 15th at Branks Club from 7 to 11 p.m.
Okay. So here's that open question that I'd like to ask folks. What would you like to see happen next? We all know what we're working on. You know what you're working on. What would you like to come after that for this community?
I would really like to see a queer and trans specific shelter or program with shelter and space to go, because it's not the most safe for folks within a lot of shelter, and having just like some beds or a sub amount of beds isn't always enough either. So I'd really like to see a youth specific queer and trans shelter.
I think increasing support for queer and trans homeless youth of color, which I know a lot of people are working on, but sort of more formalized supports and funding around that would be amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'll definitely echo that. I would, you know, when I close my eyes and think about if I had $1 million, I, you know, buy a giant house in Portland and have it specifically for queer and trans youth with a focus on youth of color. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we're providing job training and housing and mental health support and everything that we struggle so hard to share resources to give to our youth is in one central place where everyone can get to it. And
fun and youth-driven projects, right? Yes. Because we all are happier when we have control over our reality, and we'll be more successful humans when we have control over our reality.
What would it take to make the shelter happen? Do you have any sense that somebody's looking at that, creating that?
I feel like people have been thinking about it for a long time.
And, you know, I feel like we all have our eyes and ears open for the opportunity at any given point, but it's like a chicken and egg situation with a project and funding. Sometimes you have to have a project going to get funding, or you need funding to get a project going. Mm-hmm. And it's hard to, find the sweet spot in between those two.
And, Miki, it sounded to me like Outside In is kind of the first place you should go if you're looking for housing services.
Yes. Well, Outside In or New Avenues for Youth partner to provide the first step if you're experiencing homelessness as a youth.
And so that would involve being able to access all kinds of referrals for service,
and
with the right folks,
shelter and meals and case management. Everything begins with getting screened in to one of those two agencies, which is just a short interview with a staff person where they determine your eligibility. And then you have access to a lot of different resources within the continuum.
So it's really cold out right now. Do you know the number that someone would call or where they would go if they were to find themselves, in the evening, experiencing homelessness? Because we have emergency shelter.
I don't know off the top of my head. Mm-hmm. I think that if you call 211, you can. They have a collection of emergency winter shelters across the board. Or you can look up Outside In or New Avenue for Youth phone number.
I know they close at 5. I think they have business hours. And yeah. I used to work at Portland Women's Crisis Line, and they're 24 hours, and they know that information as well. So.
Do you know the crisis line number?
No, but if you go to pwcl.org, I should remember. It's just been years. But they'll often know the information. So, but I know that right now that's one of those urgent things that can happen.
Mm-hmm. Indeed. Mm-hmm.
But I also think that all of us have this like goal of working ourselves out of a job and like having no job ever existing in this world that we're in right now. Even though we love our work, right? That would mean that we're not needed anymore. And so I think that's our like ultimate goal at the end of all of these things, for sure.
No homelessness.
Yeah, no homelessness.
Do you think, well, how much does the, is your sense of the population of queer and trans youth, does it swing upwards during warmer weather and do services, you know, and that's sort of the stereotype of homelessness in this city, that folks come here when it's warmer and they leave when it's colder. Is there a sense that that's true? And if so, do services expand in a way that serves that those changing circumstances?
I see a lot more youth come in for the first time when it starts to rain in Portland, actually. Mm-hmm. And part of that, I think, is that some people sleep outside for the summer and so aren't connecting to resources like outside in until they can't sleep outside anymore. There are some people who travel through and will access services for a time, but primarily our services are directed towards people who are interested in sort of making a time commitment and working with us over time.
I think we see a lot of more folks outside when it's warmer, so the visibility is out there because they're roaming around or maybe like asking for change and stuff during the summer because they're traveling through. But in the winter, I've seen that's why we have emergency shelters during the winter for adult-specific folks. But if they're over 18, they can still access them just because it is so cold and you have folks looking for shelter.
I feel like an interesting influx in the work that I'm seeing is I see a lot more of the need for mental health services in the wintertime, mm-hmm. because obviously, you know, depression and other complications from that kind of are exacerbated by mm-hmm. wintertime. And I'm like scrambling right now to find more lists of qualified providers mm-hmm. because there are so few out there who have, you know, that kind of anti-oppression lens that our youth are really in need of, that they get completely inundated and, you know, are over their capacity. So if you're looking for a field to get into.
And I think, and to go back to your last question of what I would want to see, I think one of the bare minimum things, thinking about winter and the colder months, is just that everybody, all of our youth, would have shelter every night, which is because of funding and lack of space. When lots of people need shelter in the rainy and cold months, people get turned away, which is just not a good feeling. So as a first step, everybody having access to emergency shelter whenever they need it.
And obviously, I mean, not obviously, but I'm guessing that mixing youth and adults in shelter space is probably not the greatest idea.
I mean, it depends because our youth categories are so big to 24 mm-hmm. now, like they are so vast. And so I know when I've worked in shelter, it wasn't as much of an issue like with over 18, but I mean, it can be complicated. It doesn't have to be, but.
Are you talking about winter shelters or what shelter were you imagining? There were adults and youth mixed together.
I suppose winter shelter.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I mean, basically anywhere where folks are commingling.
Okay. There's a youth-specific shelter where mm-hmm. homeless youth continuum youth stay, and so that is not an issue within that shelter.
How many folks does that shelter serve?
Gosh, I have no. Off the top of my head, I have no mm-hmm. sense of the numbers. Sorry.
but do you understand that it's well used or?
Yes. It is, mm-hmm. yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is where primarily before youth in our program get into transitional housing or community housing, that is where they'll stay.
We have time for last thoughts, and they can be anything you like. You can remind us again where folks can intersect with your organizations. You can shout.
Shout.
Yeah, you can definitely get in touch with my programming and how to help queer youth of color in Portland at pflagpdx.org, and just look for the Portland Black chapter under that, and that's the hookup.
Totally. And if you want to access Chat PDX programming, and we again work with all young folks 24 and under, but we do focus on youth who are experiencing marginalization in various ways. And you can get in contact with us through Chat PDX, CHATPDX on Facebook. Also, if folks can get to East County or are in East County and are under 24 and want to be part of our peer education program, please apply by the 20th if you can. And the website again is bit.ly/CHAT2015. And it's a lot of fun.
And if you want to support our work, or if you're somebody experiencing homelessness, you can go to our website, outsidein.org. And also, I just wanted to emphasize, all of these organizations work pretty closely together. Mm-hmm. So if you're interested in just getting involved, or are a youth experiencing homelessness and want to contact one of us, we can definitely connect you to the other organizations and to other services.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful. Thank you, Layla. Thank you, Kira. And thank you, Mika. This has been Out Loud. Coming up next is Hard Knock Radio. I've got what I think is going to be a pretty exciting show for you. So be here next Tuesday at 6 p.m. I'm not going to tease it until I get it quite figured out. But I have had this on my mind for a while. I'm going to figure this out. So, yeah, keep a look at our Facebook, KBOO Out Loud on Facebook. That's one way you can keep track of what we see happening in the city. That's pretty interesting, as well as what we'll have on the radio each week. Thanks so much. And let's see. There's a new happy hour coming up. It's on.
You're talking about Shades?
Shades, yes.
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 Shades is going to be awesome. I am not clear on details because I'm not an organizer for that, but my good friend Kelly Moe has been instrumental in making that happen. It's a queer happy hour specifically aimed at communities of color, mm-hmm. and I believe that they are going to be commiserating with various nonprofits about town to benefit their work.
And I think that it's open to queer folks as well, mm-hmm. sort of a double bill.
Yeah.
And that's at Michigan and Mississippi, mm-hmm. Bad Habit.
Yeah.
That's what it's called. So that's coming up. I think its debut is, I think, Thursday, February 5th. Gosh, and there's so much more that I wish I could just pull out of that. I wish I had that out loud in front of me, Facebook. To find some other events, and there's amazing things bubbling up, and I think what we should be looking most to is how well SMRC does in their move, and if we can help. Mm-hmm. So that's Monday the 19th. If you want to actually physically help, otherwise get in touch and see what you can do as they move into their new space downtown. Thanks, everybody. We'll be right back.